and we are His, and He has this intentionality in seeing you prosper and do well and live life well. Today, it is the idea that God sees you as free, but here's the thing that I have found as I've been a pastor for a few years, is that so many of us are still enslaved to the mistakes we have made in the past. As I was putting the sermon together, meditating through the week and thinking about life, I was reminded over and over and over of how I am a failure. How I am not free from the past mistakes of being a failure. How I have failed my parents, my brother, my sister, society, and how I failed people. I have failed people throughout my life. And I was driven to a moment of fear where I felt like, man, I'm afraid that I would fail you, church. That I'll fail my wife, my kids. That I will fail my mom and dad. It still matters to me a lot that my mom and dad is still in my life after all I have done. They're still there, and I felt like I felt afraid that I'm going to fail them. I felt myself imprisoned to the fear of failure. Something that I believe God has freed me long ago from it. He looked at me and He called me His child and He said, I have found you, I have brought you back into the fold. Listen, you are free from past mistakes. You are free from the failures of the past. Behold, something new ought to take place in your life and will take place in your life because you are mine. What is it that you need freedom from? What is that one message you got through the week over and over and over again that God has already freed you from, but you still dwelling upon it? We all feel like we're a slave to something or to someone. But reality is through the Word of God, as we're going to explore this morning, God has said and continue to say and will say over and over and over over your life, He will sing over you, you are free. The theme for you today is this. You are free from the slavery of your past mistakes. You don't have to live in it anymore. You are free from the slavery of your sins. And you don't have to live in it anymore. You are free from slavery of people failing you because they don't think you're enough. But let me tell you, you are enough. You're free from that, and you don't have to live on that I'm not enough anymore. You are free. Galatians. Paul writes to us, the church, and he says this, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. He says this in Galatians 5, 1. For freedom, Christ has set you free. For freedom, Christ has set us free. So stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. There's a three-part thing there in this verse that I think we need to explore a little bit here for a second. The first thing is this. God has done something for you, and that something is this. It's called freedom. You are free. For freedom, Christ has set you free. Listen, I need you to understand something very important this morning, that Jesus' death on the cross of Calvary worked. All right? It was not a halfway done job. No, it was a complete job. And Jesus paid the price of your sins in the cross of Calvary. So whatever you have done in the past has been taken care of. And am I going through fast and you can't understand? I'm excited. Here's what I'm excited, because we are free. We don't have to be held back anymore. God has already freedom. And the song we just sang say that God look at us and sees us different from how we see ourselves. And I don't know how many times can I repeat that for you to believe it. You got to believe it because it is true. It's in the Word of God. It's written in this book. I know sometimes the screen can dispersonalize the Bible, but it's written right here that you are free because Jesus has done something for you. And then he goes on and says, stand firm, therefore. So if it has been done for you, Paul says, take advantage of it. Hold on to it. I gave this great example on first service. I'll give it again. Stand firm is just like Laura in blanket in the middle of the night in our house. Right? In our house, our thermostat goes down to 68 because it is usually a 78. So it's a true story. 78. If it's not 78 in our house, we're freaking out. Just so you know, I have a jacket, a sweatshirt, a t-shirt, you know, long underwear. The whole thing is in there. It was a joke. You guys didn't laugh. Maybe it was an inappropriate joke. But in the middle of the night, stand firm. In the middle of the night, she picks up that blanket and she holds on to it. And I'm freezing, right? Because it's 68. And I'm trying to pull that blanket out. She's standing firm on that darn thing, right? She's not letting it go. And as I pull a little harder, guess what happened? An elbow happened. Let it go. Stand firm. It's yours. Hold on to it. I don't care what other people are feeling around you. God has said, you are free. You stand on that freedom of God. If people want to make you cold, don't let them be cold. Don't let them make you cold. If they're cold, that's their problem. I could have woke up and got my own blanket, couldn't I? So go tell people, listen, I'm free. If you don't feel free, go talk to Jesus and get your freedom from them because he holds the freedom for our lives. So many of us are giving away our blankets when God is saying, you are free, stand firm on it. And that's the third part. So do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Let's use the analogy a little bit more. If you're warm, don't submit yourself to the cold by letting other people tell you that you're not free. By taking away from you what belongs to you because Christ has given you. Christ has done something for you. He asks that you stand firm to it. And he said, don't submit again to that which I already have freed you from. What is that one thing? One thing, because there's many, I'm sure, but there's one thing you need to tell God today. God, this thing is bothering me so much. I need to be free from this one thing. Can you work with me in this one thing? Can you help me understand and accept that I am free from failure? Galatians chapter 5, verses 13, as Paul continues to elaborate on that, he says this, for you were called to freedom. I love the word called, has this connotation of being set apart. You have been set apart for freedom, brothers and sisters. The word there in the Greek is the word doulos, slaves. Brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. And here Paul not only says you have been free, but your freedom comes with a purpose. And so many of us are using our freedom in order to abuse sin, in order to abuse that which God has already freed us from. Instead of being free, God freed us, and instead of living in the freedom that he has provided for us, we go back to do the same thing that we were doing before. Second Corinthians chapter 3, 17, Paul says this, now that the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I read verses like these, and it kind of punched me right in the gut, because so many times, like this week, I did not feel free from failures. Actually, I found myself in the midst of failures, and I was looking around, and I was thinking like, man, failures all around me. My hands are dirty with failures. And then I read this verse and I'm like, maybe I neglected God's presence in my life and in my surrounding. Because where God is, there is freedom. Freedom from that he already freed you from. The next is 1 Peter chapter 2, 16 says this, live as people who are free. Not using your freedom as a cover up for evil, but living as servants of God. And we have this messed up idea of what freedom is. We believe that freedom is actually the word anarchy. Did I say that right? We think that freedom is anarchy. It's this, it's I can do whatever I want with whoever I want, whenever I want, with who I want it, and the list goes on and on and on. That's called anarchy. God is not a God of anarchy, right? So freedom has got to find itself in a context. And when it comes to God, God has freed you from the dominion of the evil one, the dominion of darkness, dominion of sin. And he brought you to this marvelous light. And he's telling you, listen, you don't have to submit yourself to darkness anymore. You are my child. I have found you. I brought you to the fold. You don't have to live as you once lived anymore. I actually have liberated you from that life. It was a breakthrough for me when I was fighting addiction of drugs in my life. It was a wake-up call the day I realized that I am actually free and I have power over addiction. It wasn't only that, it was also a power over different sins in my life, like lies. That I had the power to stop lies from infiltrating my mind and in my heart and living lies out. It was also this idea that I can succeed on my own power. So if I work hard and if I did it better, if I did it stronger, I can succeed. God has freed me from all of that and all those attitudes and things that motivated my heart. I was using the freedom in order to cover up the evil within. But the day I realized that I was free from those things, man, I really felt like a yoke being taken away from my shoulders. And I really felt like I could start living a new life, the life that God has always promised to me. What is that one thing in your life you need freed from? What is that one thing that's keeping you from understanding how God sees you? John 8:32, which is a fantastic verse. I love it so much. It says this, and you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And Jesus tells us in a different passage in John that he says, I am the truth, the way, and the life. Nobody can come to the Father unless he comes through me, right? So Jesus himself is this truth, and so is the truth. And John here is saying, listen, if you know Jesus, you will be set free. So you will know that Jesus, and Jesus will set you free. So sometimes I ask the question, do I know Jesus enough? Does people in the church know Jesus enough to take advantage of the freedom he has given them? Because the Bible tells us if we know the truth will set us free, and free we are indeed. That's what John 8:36, the following verses say. So, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. What is the one thing you need to be freed from today? Because I believe in a God, his name is Jesus, who can free you from whatever is going on in your life, and you can walk in that freedom. Here's the thing. We read about freedom and dream about freedom and rejoice in the notion of freedom. We teach about freedom. We advocate freedom. We hope for freedom, right? But what we need to do is that we need to define freedom, because freedom means different things for different people. I don't know if you have heard, if you knew that. Freedom is very subjective in many ways. So we need to take that subjective away by defining it as biblically. But first we need to talk about this idea of freedom being a subjective thing. It means different things for different people, right? It depends on the context you find yourself. Let's give you an example, right? We can view freedom politically as having the opportunity to vote for a particular idea, person, parties, which best represents your view. You have freedom to do that. Closely tied to this is the notion of freedom of speech, where one has the liberty to voice their personal opinion or perspective. Other people understand freedom on the financial context, right? Where people seek the freedom to free themselves of financial debt, outstanding credit, and the burdensome of loans. And other people even see it in the idea of freedom of religion, which is the ability to worship anyone or anything you desire. But here's the thing about this kind of freedom. the freedom that we talked about so much in the world that we live today is that as soon as you walk in your freedom, you put someone else in jail. Right? Because walking in your freedom in this context means that you do what it is more presentable to you because you're associated with that idea. Therefore, those who are not is in the way out, it's in the outside. So you know what is interesting in that way? Is that many of the freedom we seek today are seen as an end in themselves, as the final goal to be obtained. It is as though we think that once our particular freedom is achieved, all problems will be solved. Why we think that way? Because we believe that we have achieved freedom. But freedom from what? And freedom to do what? And to be what? Do we really like when people have freedom around us? I ask that question all the time. Do we really like when people have freedom around us? What does freedom look like? Does it look like a voter ballot? Does it look like someone walking out of prison? Because as soon as someone walks out of prison, somebody else gets in prison. I told this story in the first service. I tell it here again. I had a good friend of mine that got killed when I was young on a shooting. He got shot and died. And the guy who shot him by accident went to jail. He was supposed to go to 10 years in jail, but actually he was, because of parole and behavior and so on and so forth, and Brazilian justice, how things work in Brazil, he was out in 3 years. The day he walked out of jail, the mom of my friend went into jail. The fear of what is it that guy's going to do to her and her family and her family's friends. Is he going to come over to the house? She never left the house because she was afraid. The moment the guy walked out in freedom, she walked into the imprisonment of her life. What does freedom look like? Is it being able to buy whatever we want, whenever we want, with anybody's money? Of course, it is crucial to define what we mean by freedom so that we know what we're looking for and what we are hoping to attain. So I was looking for a definition of freedom, and here's what I found for you. That's the definition of freedom. It's almost everywhere that you can look. It's a little bit of a compilation of my own ideas, but that it is the power to act or speak or to think without externally imposed restraints. Freedom is, as we think, the subjective way of thinking of freedom is the power to act or speak or think without externally imposed restraint. The underlying premises is that the enemy of freedom is hindrances imposed upon us from something or someone outside of ourselves. We all want this freedom to go. We all want this kind of freedom and cry out when we don't have it. So the premise is this, right? Is that somebody is keeping us from doing something that we, from the outside, that we want and we desire. Therefore, we call ourselves imprisoned. So we want a freedom from imposed hindrance into our lives. And a great example of that in the 21st century, for me, it is human trafficking. There are girls and boys out there around the world who has been, there's some hindrance imposing their lives, right? Someone is picking them up and putting them in a condition that they would never choose on themselves. They would never take that choice. Somebody else is making that choice for them, putting them on that situation, and they cannot leave that place. That's the lack of freedom, right? We think about it, when I think about this, I think about the many international justice missions that we have around the world that you and I, we need to join in, and maybe individually we need to search for those organizations, join them. And I think about the tragedy of forced child prostitution and child slave labor, which violates the most basic human rights that we have as individuals. Those people are not walking in freedom, because there's outside forces oppressing them. What is freedom?
And what is freedom in the biblical context? Because, so, to talk about freedom, like, you know, as I become an American, as I continue to live in this awesome nation, and I get the opportunity to call myself American at this time, not only because I love this nation, but because I've been given a title as American citizen, I'm learning more and more and more about this beautiful culture that I live in. The word freedom is a word that is like, in everybody's mind, in everybody's heart. And a word that I appreciate so much in the cultural context, but listen, I am a Christian first. And so should you be. So therefore, it's important for us to understand what is God's idea of freedom and what is really, when Jesus sees us as free, what is really he talking about? What does the Bible talk about when God says, you are free? And so let's explore this a little bit. So what is freedom in the biblical context? When Jesus said, the kingdom of God has come, it totally confused people who were expecting God's kingdom to be this theocracy, right? With King Jesus ruling and legislating God's agenda around the world, right? The kingdom of God is within you, right? It's within you, Jesus was saying. So the kingdom of God is within you. Jesus was teaching that God's kingdom wasn't about establishing a new world government. God was not about to do to freedom what we do. He was not about to oppress people with his rules and regulation and desires and all these things. No, God is not a God who works in a worldly way. He works on his own way. So when Jesus came claiming the kingdom of God, he was not claiming, you know what? I'm going to sit as the king and everybody else is going to bow down to me. And if they don't like it, there'll be consequences for it. Everybody was thinking that, but just like, nah, 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 I don't work like that. I came differently. I have no interest in being this worldly power guy. Nah, 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 nah. I came to create awakening in people's heart for another dimension of reality. Jesus didn't come to impose. He actually came so our hearts would be exposed. The truth is that most people seek eternal qualities or attributes through the temporal avenues and something or someone outside of ourselves. We are all looking to be free from externally imposed restraint on temporal things that are outside of ourselves. So we believe that there are things oppressing us, so we want those things to go away, right? So that's how we see freedom. So let me give you an example like this. Like, we think, if only I had more money. The lack of money oppresses me. I'm not free financially. So I have this oppression, financial oppression. So if I had more money, I would be free from that. Or if I had a better job, I'll live in freedom. If I had more success, I'll live in freedom. If I had someone who loves me like I deserve to be loved, guess what? I would walk in freedom. If I could lose 24 more pounds this week, I would be walking in freedom. Could get away from all the stresses of my life, I would walk in freedom. If I had better friends or better family or better co-workers, I would walk in freedom. If I could eat large quantities of Ben Jerry's ice cream without gaining weight, I would walk in freedom. If I had a bigger house, I would walk in freedom. Could get a new car, I would walk in freedom. Was in a different church with a better looking pastor, I would walk in freedom. If the guy could at least speak English, right? If I could follow my heart's desire, if I could do whatever I want, whenever I want, the way I want it, I would walk in freedom. And here's this thing, this mentality that we have is restraining our hopes and for love and for peace and well-being and contentment on things outside of us, on people and circumstances. Outside of us, we assume that people and life circumstances are preventing us from being happy, from being fulfilled, from walking in freedom, when reality is not the things that is happening on the outside that is keeping us in jail, it's actually the things that is happening on the inside. It is what's going on right here. We think that the oppression comes from the outside. Actually, this is not what's going on in the life of the Christian. Oppression starts in the heart, and we must be liberated from the inside out. So freedom starts in our hearts. At the center of spiritual reality, Jesus called the kingdom of God freedom. Freedom. Not freedom from external restraints, but freedom from internal restraint. That's what God is freeing us from. Not from the external forces, but from the internal forces that destroy our lives. The truth is that the only thing preventing you from experiencing the abundant life, the freedom that Jesus offers, God's kingdom of love, peace, well-being, and contentment, the only thing preventing you from living and seeing yourself as God sees you as a free person is yourself. Is you. The work has been done on the cross. Freedom has already been released to your life. You have imposed restraint upon yourself. I have done that on myself through the week as I was believing the lies of that I am a failure. Not seeing yourself as God sees you, but imagine that whatever is keeping you from good, the good life that God has promised you, it's outside of you. It is not outside of you. It's not on your husband, your ex-husband, on your wife, your ex-wife, on your job, your ex-job, on your full or empty banking account. It is not in the pain that you are feeling right now. It is not in the message that the world throws at you. It is not what is preventing you from living free lives and from seeing yourselves as free people. It's in you. Jesus' message is that there is nothing preventing you. You are free to be at peace and live abundant life of love, compassion, satisfaction at every moment. You have in you the powers through the Holy Spirit to overcome addiction and bad relationships and personal problems and family problems and oppression the sources of oppressions that come into your life. So we need freedom, not from outside. We need freedom from this internal restraint we put on ourselves and not from external restraints. And so we think the Bible do that through systems, right? How many of you guys have been to churches who believes that way? So they create the systems of legality that we ought to live by. Not a Delaware Christian church. We are not a legalistic church, right? We are a relational church. We believe that God has a relationship with us. Therefore, He sees us for who we are in Him. And He's working through us, in us, through the Holy Spirit. And He's telling us, listen, you are my people, and I am your God, and we're going to work on this relationship together so that your hearts will be changed and the future will be a new one. It's not about rules and regulation. A lot of people think that of the Bible, but if you do a little bit more exploring, you see there's a lot of freedom in Christ, and the freedom to live for Christ and with Christ and to live in a way that glorifies God. So John chapter 8, 34 tells this very important message. John, Jesus answered, John quoting Jesus, and Jesus says this, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin, right? So I love this passage because it really clarifies a few things for us that I think we need to understand as we walk in our freedom. God is not freeing us from the idea that we'll never sin again, because I don't know about you, but I woke up this morning and I sinned. Did you do that too? Yeah, we all did it. Can't escape it. We all sin. First John chapter 1 tells us that we all sin, right? But if we repent and confess, there is a forgiveness and a freedom that comes through that. So when John is quoting Jesus here, what Jesus is saying is that everyone is going to sin. But here is the problem here. Here's the problem is that word practices. The problem of sin in life It's not that we sin, because we're all going to do that. The problem is that there are some sins that we practice. And let me tell you this, you don't practice that you don't like. We only practice the things that we like. I'm a sports guy, right? I grew up in Brazil, had an opportunity to play soccer on a high level and enjoyed that very much. But there was practice that was imposed to me. My coach would say, hey, here's the thing. You have this that we practice for 8 hours, right? Six to 8 hours. So we were in the club for 6 to 8 hours. So like you're like, you know, you got to, this hour is there. And there's a defined moment where you practice and the coach would dictate that. But then outside of that, there are some things that I was good at. There's some movements that I loved and that made me prosper and made me successful. So therefore, I would spend some time practicing just those things that I love it, that I like it. And when, so you don't practice that what you don't like. You just practice that which you think you're good and you like it. So there are some sins in our lives that we practice. There are some things that we're good at it that hurts the heart of God. And we do it over and over and over again, and we're good at it. So Jesus is saying, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave of sin. So if that's what you are attached to, if that's what your likes and your desires are, then that's what we're going to do. But then on Romans chapter 6, Paul comes on, pick back on Jesus, 6:16 and 14, and he says this. Paul, Romans chapter 6, 16 and 14. Do you not know that if you present yourself to anyone as obedient slaves, as you're practicing, as you're doing this, if you present yourself as someone who does this, you're a slave, right? You are a slave of one who you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you who were once a slave to sin have become obedient from the heart to the stand of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. Paul then goes on and punches and says, listen, you can either serve sin or you can serve righteousness. You can practice sin or you can practice righteousness. You are freed from something to something. God freed you from sin to righteousness. But so many of us are looking at righteousness and think like, yeah, I don't know about that. Let me go back to my sins. You're never free to do whatever you want. You're always freed from to, with a purpose. And that's all a work of the heart. That's what the Bible says, that true freedom begins in the heart. We act, and our thoughts and behavior is according to our desires, and our desires comes out of the heart. The source of our actions, the source of our words is the heart. It is a disease that we have and that Jesus came to cure. That the restraint of our lives comes from the action that comes from our hearts. We have a heart problem, not a freedom problem. We choose sin and rebel against God instead of choosing what God has set before us. The Bible is clear. God has set you free. You don't have to live on slavery to sin anymore. But you need to allow God to change your heart.